Blog Talk Radio.
James Bostic here, Conservative's Perspective, Tuesday night edition. We are live, and we do this every Tuesday, Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time here at Blog Talk Radio. What you got to do is you go onto the World Wide Web of Danger and Intrigue to blogtalkradio.com. And then when you get there, you look for the Patriot Nation Radio Network, and that's where you find ACP, putting the blah in Blog Talk. Nice to be here with you. I'm not exactly sure where to begin. There's a lot of crap going on out there. One thing I do want to say, I talked about this about a week or so ago, and I want to bring it up again. Folks, I say this for no other reason and for no other overwhelming motivation than your personal safety. And that's no joke. You don't need to doubt my sincerity when I say this. I really appreciate every single one of my listeners and everybody that hears this and anybody that looks at things as we do from a conservative perspective. A couple different things. Doesn't take a whole lot. Doesn't cost that much. And if you can, I think you should do it. Number one, you need to join the NRA. You need to join the National Rifle Association. They are the most effective lobby if you are a believer in the Second Amendment. And I know of no conservative who is not a constitutional originalist who does not stake his faith, his liberty, his honor on the Second. Without the Second, you don't have the First. Or any of the others we might add. Join the NRA. And then go shopping. Go to a sporting goods store. Go to your local gunsmith. You don't have to go to a name place. Check out some of the local gun guys in your area. Go to a gun dealer. Look around. Talk with them. Maybe you've shot a gun. Maybe you haven't shot a gun. Get you a pistol. Get you a shotgun. Find something to protect yourself, to protect your family, your home. Ordinarily, it would not be an issue that I would talk a great deal about. I'm not exactly sure where you're at, wherever you're listening from, but here in the mountain state of West Virginia, I am blessed to live in an area not completely free of crime. No city is, no, you know, highway hub is, and we kind of have that going on here. We're an intersection for Interstates 64, east and west, 77, north and south. So, you know, we get a lot of transient crime. And just like every other place in the coal fields of southern West Virginia, where I live is you know, fighting a pretty tough battle with opioid addiction, with methamphetamine addiction. And so you get these derelicts, you get these, you know, crack fiends. And sometimes I drive around in the town that I grew up in, and I see these things, and it disturbs me. And people in desperate positions, like drug addicts or drunks, or they, you know, they don't think right. Their mind is addled by drugs, by alcohol, by whatever. And in that state, they become desperate, and they're not focused on anything except finding some way to provide for that next hit, for that next pop. And that could mean bad things for us. And it could mean really bad things for us who might be home, that don't have a gun, or happen upon these guys, and we don't have a gun. It's a bad situation. And you know that old cliche, when seconds count, the police are minutes away. And there are people in this country I know that, like I said, they look at things from a conservative perspective, and they see, you know, they live in areas where violence can happen upon them at any time. Chicago, my God, have you guys seen what was going on? Barack Obama Day, it was like the solid gold Barack Obama weekend, and, you know, all the AM stations played nothing but Barack Obama music, and they were giving away T-shirts to the 19th caller, and all that, you know, just crazy stuff. It was a bloodbath in Chicago, but we're gonna talk about that here in a little bit. But back to what I'm saying, join the NRA, get involved, study the Second Amendment, study the Constitution, with particular attention to the Second. Excuse me. Talk to a gun dealer, talk to a certified NRA instructor about what might be the best route for you to take in terms of protection concerning a firearm and your home and family. Pray to God that you never have to use it, but when you need it, there's nothing else that's going to take its place, and you'll have it, and you'll have the training, and you'll have the knowledge to defend yourself. God forbid it ever happens. And just like G.I. Joe says, man, knowing is half the battle. I went through a course a couple of weeks ago. That's why I'm thinking about it, and it was a great time. Grown up around guns, been shooting all my adult life. Finally decided that so that I may be of better service to my friends and my family, the people I care about and those around me, decided to do a concealed carry course. Had a terrific time. The guy who teaches it is a second cousin of mine. He's a wonderful fella. And we had a great day. He had a lot of guns out there that he let the folks, you know, kind of handle and experiment and see, you know, give them an idea of what they were looking for or what they might want to look for. And then he and his range assistant took us down to the range, and everybody qualified, and we had a terrific time. And, you know, $60. $60 gets you your certification and the necessary forms to submit to your county government in order to apply for your concealed carry. Now, you're probably thinking, here in West Virginia, we got an open carry, which is true. You don't need a permit, but just like the pistol itself, better to have one and not need it than to need one and not have it. And that's all I've got to say about that. So to think about those things and check it out, because the NRA is there for you. They're there for us. They are there for the country. Make no mistake about it. And I really don't know where to go, you know, I mean, there's all kind of stuff going on. The press is losing their mind. It's just I don't understand why they haven't lost it completely. It seems like there shouldn't be, after almost 2 years of hyperventilating and clutching at their pearls and being shocked and appalled, and hookers and porn babes and Russian lawyers and all, you know, one, whatever it is, you know, whatever that bright, shiny object is that they get offended about as they go by, if you're keeping count. You would think there wouldn't be any mind left. There wouldn't be any mind left to lose. And maybe there's not. Maybe that's what we're dealing with here. Maybe this is the end result, is just a constant state of hysteria and insanity. We talked last, and you know, we talked a little bit about this last week. I kind of got on a riff about how stupid they all are over there in Democratville, in Liberalsburg, and in Commie Town, and Marxistmania, and all those places where these melon heads reside. And we just talked about, you know, how crazy stupid they are. Last Thursday, we talked about San Francisco, which is probably the least, if there were, and there are a couple of different places, but I would say, if there were a leading, this is not going to sound right because it's going to sound complimentary, and there's nothing complimentary about it at all. If there was a leading socialist or socialism light or area, it would have to be San Francisco. And we talked about what all was going on in San Francisco, all the crap that they've got banned, and just insane stuff. And we have this girl. I can never remember her first name. Alexandra Ocasio, Crazy Eyes Cortez. All right, and she's being hailed as the latest and greatest, one of the new leading lights in the Democrat Party by Tom Perez, who's chairman of the Democrat National Committee. So, I guess he knows, but the thing about socialism and socialism is nothing new. They've just gone. The left has gone full blown socialism now. This chick comes out and she says all these crazy things, like the reason unemployment rates are so low is because everybody's working two jobs. And this is an economics major and international relations major, who probably couldn't find Palestine or Israel or any country he wanted to name or area in the Middle East on a map with a tom-tom. But they've taken off, and in their desperation and pandering to all the various identities in their big old identity politics spectrum. And see, this is the thing. These guys are starting to eat themselves. And a case in point, pardon the pun, is the LGBTQ CD. PA, whatever, you know who I'm talking about. Here's the problem. There is a group, the transgenders. The homosexuals don't like the transgenders, okay? Because the transgender wants to become another sex, because that, you know, that's what they feel they want to do. But the way the LB, the gay lesbian people talk, to hear the gay lesbians talk about this, it's not good for the transgenders to be included in this specific identity issue, because after they have their surgery, then the guy who liked guys is now a girl who likes guys, which means what? They're not gay anymore. or that really butch manly woman who likes girls goes ahead and has the you know, add-ons, and then they're not gay anymore. They're not a lesbian. They're a guy who digs chicks, right? Well, the gay lesbians don't like this. This is cutting into the membership, and we can't have that because we're going to lose our lobby. So maybe you transgender people, maybe you just need to move along. And the transgenders, obviously, you know, they're feeling the pain of the betrayal by the gay lesbians. And this is going to continue. There are going to be black groups where some people are a little more black than the others. There are going to be Hispanic groups, okay, that are a little bit more Hispanic than others. Because once you get into this identity thing, you know, it's like this. It's like midget league football where everybody gets a trophy just for showing up. Kid might not have ever got the first grass stains on his pants or the first scratch on his helmet because he sat his little tiny monkey butt on the bench the entire season. But at the end of the year, this little snotty-nosed punk is going to get a trophy, and he's going to think he's Joe Namath. And he's going to go through his life thinking all he's got to do is show up to get something. Ah, I hear thunder in the distance. Not exactly sure how we got onto that. But this is what's going to happen. This cannibalization, this self implosion with all these different identities. And the Black Lives Matter people want to be number one, don't they? They want to have the most influence within the Democrat Socialist Party, which is what they're saying now. And can anybody tell me the difference between socialist and democratic socialist? Other than they're both preludes to full-blown communism? I don't know. Anyway, so the Black Lives Matter want to have all the political leverage. Or La Raza wants to have all the political leverage. Or the gay lesbians, you know, they want their say. They want to control the Democrat Party, even though they're probably less than 2% of the population. Really, you know that? That's it. The gay lesbians are about maybe even less than that. It may be even a fraction of a percentage. We'll have to check that out. I'll look some stuff up on the gay lesbians here at the break, and we'll see what's going on with them, how many there really are. Because, see, all this stuff is so illusory. They get these lobbying groups. They get these public relations groups in there that make you think, you know, everywhere you look, every third person, every second person's a gay lesbian. And it's not – and it isn't the truth. But they, you know, it's like CNN. Everybody like CNN is all powerful. Less than a million people or less watch CNN in a night. A million people or less watch CNN. But we're supposed to think they're the end all be all for news and reliability. Everybody's flocking to CNN because of, you know, whatever. But they don't. 63 million people voted for Donald Trump. 1 million people watch CNN. CNN's worried. And more people are cutting telecable. And see, but they get by with these because they have these carriage fees that you pay. Even though you don't watch CNN, you're teaching CNN a lesson. Suddenlink or Charter or whoever you've got is in your cable bill. You're getting a carriage fee. So you're paying to subsidize CNN, whether you watch them or not. But the one thing about socialism that kind of worries me in this country, because there is a possibility it could be successful, but socialism, it is impossible for socialism to flourish without ignorance. Now, the capacity of human beings for making the same mistake again and again is exceeded only by the capacity of our governments to take those mistakes and turn them into law. So to err is human. To forgive is divine. But what are we going to do when a significant segment of our population has grown so attracted to an error that they lose the capability to recognize it as an error. Indeed, they become violently defensive at the mere mention of reassessing their beliefs. Hearing a lot of thunder out there. You guys stand by. We don't know. We might get booted off the air. If we do, we'll try to get back. If not, it's been great talking with you. A difficult situation is made untenable when this error, and in this case the error, of course, is socialism. It's got dangerous consequences for all of us. You, me, everyone, not just the people who are in love with the idea of socialism, just like the people who are in love with the idea of communism. Okay, so that's the thing. That's where we're at. This is where the United States in the 21st century finds itself today, in as far as being relative to that perennial error we call socialism. Now, here's the problem. The base of support for this long discredited system is multi-layered, with each layer supporting the error of socialism from a different foundation. Now, the largest element stands on a foundation of ignorance. They're just simply unaware of the history and the track record of collectivist schemes in general and socialism in particular. Now, absent this frame of reference, members of this group, the ignorant group, are vulnerable to the socialists' siren song, and they soon find themselves singing along all about fairness and equality and justice, and they don't understand the fact that the composer of this song doesn't have the necessary instruments to play it unless he first takes them from someone else. Now, this group is the weakest, and a great many members can be peeled away from the collectivist concert by just opening their eyes to the nuts and bolts of their newfound political plaything. Once realizing that the price of admission to socialism involves the surrender of personal choice, they either give up on that effort or they graduate to the next group. The next group recognizes the shortcomings of socialism, but is unwilling to accept these inevitable failures as fundamental flaws of the system itself, preferring to either ignore the murderous history of the creed entirely or blame the failures on interference by outside nefarious influences. In their eyes, every stumble must have been the result of being tripped. Every fall surely must have been preceded by a shove. It is this group that are the true believers, standing on a foundation of near religious fervor, willing to risk life and limb to prove to the world that socialism can work if it's only operated by the right people with the right funding and the support of right-minded people. Now, it's rare that we would see one of this crowd abandoning the faith of socialism, and don't waste your time or effort trying to turn them. The only people that can be changed, the only way that these people can be changed from this section of socialist believers is something profound, something personal, something terrible, some kind of disaster that will open their eyes and move them, because anybody that tries to convince them externally is going to be seen as a validation of their sad, paranoid worldview. Now, the third level, the final level, these people, they know exactly, they know full well the ramifications of the policies that they're advocating. They know the history, they understand the fatal flaws, and they are fully prepared to sacrifice the lives and fortunes of as many people as necessary to gain and maintain power. Does that sound familiar? They're standing atop a foundation of concupiscence. they take the worst elements of human nature, suffering, greed, fear, envy. They take those things and they manipulate them as a tradesman would with a tool. Every decision they make in terms of socialist policy is based on a longing for unfettered power and unaccountable control. These are the leaders who know the system well enough to have monetized it, and they operate it as a machine from which they draw wealth and power to themselves. Nancy Pelosi, Barbara Boxer, Dianne Feinstein, Mitch McConnell. Read Schweitzer's new book, Secret Empires. Look up the stuff on Mitch McConnell and his wife, Elizabeth Chao, and their ties to China. So they have this cash machine called socialism, which they, you know, they drain the saps and to this country's eternal credit. We turned away from one of those kind of leaders in the last presidential election. We turned away from Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton was a referendum on Barack Obama. We rejected a Barack Obama. So now what we have to do is, since we have shunned these leaders, we have to erode the influence of those leaders and the ones that will take her place and the true believers who, you know, are out there to do the bidding. Now, it's going to be a big job, but we have a history of success on our side. Freedom and liberty bloom practically wherever they are planted, while socialism can't boast of a single blossom, much less any fruit. And most important of all, they cannot long deny the trail of bodies numbering in the hundreds of millions, all victims of their unforgivable error. So, we need to start talking about socialists and who are the socialists. We need to start talking about socialism. It isn't hard to find out about. And we have to shine that light in the darkest corners. There is an entire generation, as well as our future, in the balance. Tip of the hat there to Joe Herring. We got that from AmericanThinker.com. Well, we're down at the bottom of the hour. And I guess I need to find something to play, don't I? So we're going to do that right now. Take a little break, grab something to drink. This talk that makes a fellow thirsty. Back with more of a conservative perspective right after this.
When Madame Pompadour was on a ballroom floor, said all the gentlemen, obviously, the madam has the cutest personality. And think of all the books about Du Barry's looks. What was it made of? The toast of Paris. She had a well-developed personality.
What did Romeo see in Juliet, or Pierrot in Pierrette, or Jupiter in Juno?
You know. And when Salome danced and had the boys entranced, no doubt it must have been easy to see that she knew how to use her personality.
Just a bit bored at the knees. If she can show a faultless personality.
Why are certain girls offered certain things, like sable coats and wedding rings, by men who wear their spats right?
That's right. So don't you say I'm smart and have the kindest heart. Oh, what a wonderful sister I'd be.
Just tell me how you like my
personality.
Baby, you've got the cutest
personality.
This is the G.I. Jive, Man Alive. It starts with the bugler blowing reveille over your bed when you arrive. Jack, that's the G.I. Jive. Rootledy-toot, jump in your suit, make a salute. Voot! After you wash and dress, more or less, you go get your breakfast in a beautiful little cafe they call the Mess. Jack, when you convalesce, out of your seat, into the street, make with the feet. Reet! If you're a PVT, your duty is to salute the L-I-E-U-T. But if you brush the L-I-E-U-T, the M-P makes you KB on the Q-T. This is the G.I. Jive, Man Alive. They give you a private tank that features a little device called Fluid Drive. Jack, after you revive, chunk all your junk back in the trunk, fall on your bunk, clunk. Private tank that features a little device called a fluid drive. Jack, if you still survive, chunk all your junk back in the trunk, fall on your bunk, clunk. Soon you're counting jeeps, but before you count to five,
hey, hey, good to be back with you. Johnny Mercer there with Personality and the G.I. Jive. James Bostic here, Conservative's Perspective. This is one of the live incarnations of the radio program. We do this twice a week live, 7 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. On Blog Talk Radio, you go to Blog Talk Radio, and then you look up the Patriot Nation Radio Network, and that's where you're going to find me and also our good friend and founder of the Patriot Nation Radio Network, Mr. Mark Hoffman. Outstanding fellow, outstanding programs. He does Mondays and Thursdays. I do Tuesdays and Thursdays. Thursdays we're back-to-back, and we've worked that out. We've been working together for a long time, Mark and I. Coming up on 5 years, and I have enjoyed it tremendously. He's a terrific cat, and we're happy to be associated, happy and proud to be associated with him. Just like the folks over at Talk America Radio, talkamericaradio.org, that's where you go. They have a couple of different audio streaming channels there. The Liberty and Justice streams, ACP, of course, heard on either one of those at various times throughout the day and the week. An outstanding lineup of hosts and programs there. Caden Calger, fellow West Virginian, of course, the Double D's, Don Newen, Donna Fiducia, Matt Locke, Ron Phillips, the Conservative Cartel. Just so many. Do yourself a favor and go check it out, talkamericaradio.org. Okay, one of the things that happened, while we're talking about radio and that kind of stuff, I want to talk for a minute about Alex Jones. Now, there are a lot of people out there that are crazy about Alex Jones. A lot of people. There are a lot of people out there who hate Alex Jones's guts. I don't know about the guy. I mean, he works this kind of a neither world that's kind of, you know, in and out between. And I guess, you know, his show is named properly InfoWars because it's a battle. What I think he says is a battle for your mind or something like that. So he's like Beck. He's like Glenn Beck. He's like Sean Hannity. He's like Rush Limbaugh. Okay. And you can say what you want to about these cats. They are entertainers. You can't be in their position and not, I mean, consistently. Rush has been killing it since 1988. His show went national. He nationally syndicated August 1st, my birthday, 1988. He is a king. Same thing with Hannity. Same thing with all these guys. And you can't stay in those positions. You can't occupy those positions of prominence without being entertaining, because guess what? If you ain't entertaining, you ain't going to get listened to, Hoss. So he's an entertainer and he does what he does. But Apple and Facebook, Spotify, and YouTube have all banned Alex Jones and InfoWars content from their platforms. And here are six questions that I picked up over on Breitbart. Actually sent these questions. Breitbart News sent these questions to Facebook, to YouTube, to Spotify and Apple earlier today, and they haven't gotten a real answer from any of them. And they won't answer why, after months of pressure from Democrats and CNN, that they all came to this same decision on the same day. And these questions, which are fundamentally questions about transparency, they transcend the scope that's just InfoWars and Alex Jones. So Breitbart sends these questions. Haven't heard back from them. Here are the questions that Silicon Valley won't answer. Number one, what content specifically from InfoWars, Alex Jones, was found to be hate speech and otherwise rule-breaking? And InfoWars editor-at-large, and I've got a clip from this guy coming up, Paul Joseph Watson. He's a pretty sharp cat, too. He confirmed to Breitbart that none of the tech giants that targeted InfoWars or Alex Jones over the past 24 hours pointed to any specific content. They pointed to no specific content that violated their terms of service. Number two, when was the decision to ban them made? What changed over the course of a few days from when you defended these platforms, defended not banning InfoWars? Just a few weeks ago, Mark Zuckerberg defended InfoWars in an interview saying, the approach that we've taken to false news is not to say you can't say something wrong on the internet. Everybody gets things wrong. And if we were taking down people's accounts when they got a few things wrong, then that would be a hard world for giving people a voice and saying that you care about that. Well, so what changed? Why so quickly? And why all these same platforms concurrently? Who made the decision to take them down? Okay, this wasn't made by some, you know, middle of the road content reviewer. This was somebody up, high up, way up. Fourth question, will you provide clear guidelines on hate speech, including defining hate speech in a matter that's clear to everyone? Well, when he was pressed by a member of Congress earlier this year, Mark Zuckerberg admitted he couldn't define hate speech yet. That's the reason that Facebook and the other platforms gained for banning InfoWars and Alex Jones. Do they now have a definition? What is it? Number five, how does big tech plan to manage the incoming wave of demands to censor and remove content from other conservative sites? Because, folks, that's what's going to happen. Did Facebook and YouTube and Apple or Spotify, did they communicate or coordinate with Google, YouTube, with Apple or Spotify or any of the other tech platforms? No answers. No answers. YouTube says all users agree to comply with our terms of service and community guidelines when they sign up. When users violate these policies, like our policies against hate speech and harassment, we terminate their accounts. Apple does not tolerate hate speech, and we have clear guidelines that creators and developers must follow to ensure we provide a safe environment for all of our users. Podcasts that violate these guidelines are removed from our directory, making them no longer searchable or available for download or streaming. We believe in representing a wide range of views so long as people are respectful to those with differing opinions. Why now? After going and defending and saying that they're all free speech, they're all First Amendment, they're all this stuff, all of them, same day. Well, it may have a little something to do with this. There's an app. InfoWars has an app. And it ranks right now as the fourth most popular free app. CNN got behind Apple to remove it from their platform. They got censored on most of those platforms, and it just shot up. Right now, as of us talking about this, InfoWars is currently the fourth most popular free app on the Apple Store, beating CNN, the New York Times, Google News, the Huffington Post, and dozens of other mainstream outlets. How long do you think this is going to last? And right now, as it stands, the only major portal he has left to mainstream conversation, to be a part of social media, is Twitter. That was the only company that didn't take any action against Jones on Monday. Number one, how long is this ban going to last? And number two, if it does last, who's next? This is pretty serious stuff here, guys. Pretty serious. Let me see if I can find the clip. We mentioned Paul Joseph Watson in that article there. Let's see. I think I have that listed under the Purge. And there it is. About 5 minutes. It's some outstanding stuff. This guy, you see him on Facebook. You see him a lot of different places. He's also making headways at frontpagemag.com, very serious place. He's a heavy hitter, and he's a really smart cat. Paul Joseph Watson.
Apple, Facebook, Spotify, and YouTube all completely banned InfoWars within 12 hours of each other, clearly suggesting big tech collusion and proving their terms of service are all bullshit. This is political censorship. This is the Purge. Facebook cited language used to describe Muslims, transgenders, and immigrants. They provided zero specific examples as to what we said that was verboten. And neither did Apple, Spotify, or YouTube.
But they're private companies. They can ban who they like.
No, Facebook, Twitter, and Google have monopolized free speech online. They're a monopoly. They're also working directly with institutions of media. CNN whines all day about Trump threatening press freedoms, while simultaneously lobbying to have its competitors shut down by big tech. America's free press supports censorship. Big tech is colluding with leftist lawmakers on Capitol Hill. Democratic Congressman Ted Deutch pressured YouTube and Facebook to ban InfoWars just a few weeks ago.
Alex Jones obviously is a well-known conspiracy theorist whose brand is bullying.
Typically a channel gets three strikes and then we terminate the channel.
Democratic Congressman Mike Quigley pressured Twitter to remove my tweets from trending hashtags, and they did.
On Twitter, if you clicked on the hashtag NYC terrorist attack, which is, quote, trending, marked with a red button saying, quote, live, the top tweet links to an InfoWars story with the headline, Imam, I warned de Blasio about New York City of terror. He was too busy bashing Trump. But USA, you saw this.
USA Today. At lunch, I did, yeah, and I also saw the system correct it.
As WikiLeaks tweeted, this is a global antitrust problem. This is cultural imperialism. So no, it's not just a private company. This is a handful of far-left hysterics in San Francisco framing legitimate criticism of mass immigration and Islam as hate speech. This is language policing. This is political censorship. They know InfoWars played a key role in electing Trump. This is punishment for that. And this all happened 3 months before the midterms. This is election meddling. This is election rigging. This was all coordinated. They all banned InfoWars within the same 12-hour period. That's big tech collusion. That's a total abuse of power. Now look at Apple's excuse for banning InfoWars. According to Apple, if you don't respect people with different opinions, you will be banned. Does this mean it's necessary to respect people who advocate child marriage and honor killings just to have a platform? Because I don't respect those people. I don't respect people like Louis Farrakhan, who praised Adolf Hitler as, quote, a very great man. Presumably, Apple does, because his app and his broadcasts are still available on their platform. I don't respect Antifa, a group that violently attacks innocent people. But Antifa's pages, podcasts, and videos are rarely, if ever, banned on any platform. Now look at Wikipedia. Activist editors removing Sarah Jeong's racist tweet controversy from her Wikipedia page, literally throwing the most important event in her career down an Orwellian memory hole. Literally attempting to change reality and hide history. That's what this is all about. And all you liberals orgasmically celebrating big business censoring independent media, you're not liberals, you're authoritarians. Whether you hate Alex Jones is beside the point. Do you love the fact that a handful of tech monopolists have the power to simultaneously purge him from the internet? Forget the Supreme Court. Susan Wojcicki and Mark Zuckerberg are now de facto defining the parameters of the First Amendment. Big business monopolies as the ultimate judge, jury, and executioner on free speech rights. And so-called liberals are jubilant. Conservatives who don't speak out against this, who hide and cower in the vain hope that they'll be spared. Well, guess what? You're next. While you desperately clamor for respect from leftists who hate you, while you vigorously defend the free speech rights of James Gunn and Sarah Jeong, an electronic wall is being built. We need congressional action now. We need a digital bill of rights. We need new laws that block big tech monopolies from discriminating against people based on their political opinions. But listen, you can smear us, defame us, ban us, sue us, imprison us. It doesn't matter, because the horse has already bolted. The worldwide populist surge cannot be muted. It cannot be unpublished. It cannot be unlisted. It cannot be deleted. Whatever you do, it cannot and will not be silenced.
Heat Big Medicine, Paul Joseph Watson there. He's... Again, it is about Alex Jones and InfoWars as much as it is, you know, about anybody. It didn't have to be Alex Jones. It just happened to be Alex Jones. because, you know, now, and like I said, in the long run, he's getting the last laugh because his app is the fourth most popular free app in the world. That's huge. But it doesn't matter who it was. That it was Alex Jones, you know, that's just that particular variable in the equation. The larger issue here is that they do this at all. And apparently they've come to this point where they feel that they can do this with impunity. Because no, he's not Sean Hannity. No, he's not even Michael Sevier. But he is Alex Jones, and he's a pretty big guy in terms of media. Again, he's polarizing. People love him. People hate him. I don't know. You know, it just seems to me, if you don't like the guy, don't listen to him. I don't care for Chris Matthews. I don't care for Rachel Maddow. I don't watch them. I don't care for Lawrence O'Donnell. I don't pay any attention to him. And I don't like Dancing with the Damn Stars either. I've never watched it, and by God, I won't. And I'll just take whatever heat I get for that. But you get the idea. It's you don't have to boycott. So what you're doing is they're disagreeing with what this cat says. So what are they going to do? They're going to break his rice bowl, aren't they? They think they're depriving him of his livelihood, that they're bankrupting him. I don't know if they are or not. I don't know what kind of money the guy makes. I mean, again, radio and the media is so illusory. Like I told you, with those carriage fees, 1 million people watch CNN a night. That's it. That's it. But they have these carriage fees that the cable companies pass on to their subscribers that subsidize CNN, that subsidize ESPN. Jeff Zucker doesn't care. I mean, yeah, he might care a little bit that they're like, you know, barely even able to call themselves a news network. But, you know, they're still being subsidized. They're still raking in that money. So would he like to have the trappings of legitimacy and objectivity and honor and truthability and that kind of, yeah, probably. But the money's flowing, so that's, you know, he's good. He's good. And if the money's flowing and the stockholders, you know, okay, yeah, they might lose a little bit of money in terms of viewership, but it's through those subsidies and other deals that CNN does, you know, manages to crawl around there in the slime. Let's see what else there's anything. We got a few minutes left to beat in a little time here. This may be interesting. From Zero Hedge, I picked this up the other day from my pal Denise Simon. It's between Congress and the Department of Justice and the FBI over documents concerning this whole collusion thing. And the DOJ says, well, we're not going to give you all this stuff. It's an ongoing investigation. We can't talk about that. We can't show you that. And Congress says, hey, boy, we're Congress. We get what we want to see. And 100% of that